You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire. Paris says Moscow's not welcome in its elections. A new version of Mirai is out, spreading through Windows systems. Researchers warn of FTP protocol injection vulnerabilities in Python and Java. A new JavaScript exploit may affect Internet Explorer. New York State's new financial sector cyber regulations take effect next Wednesday. A look at fileless attacks, and a quick glance back at RSA, and some analyst thoughts on why Verizon still wants Yahoo's assets. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Wednesday, February 22, 2017. As U.S. investigation of Russian attempts at influence operations during the last election cycle proceeds, France warns Moscow to stay out of upcoming French elections. There are concerns that Russia Today and Sputnik in particular are peddling scandal disinformation about disfavored candidates, mostly candidates of the center-right. Kaspersky Lab researchers are tracking an evolved Windows-based botnet that's spreading Mirai malware. The emerging Mirai variant under examination also seems able to migrate to Linux systems. Kaspersky concludes from an inspection of the code that the person or persons behind it are more sophisticated than Mirai's original author. Recall that Mirai's source code was released last year, which suggests that such refinement and propagation was probably effectively inevitable. Kaspersky speculates that the actor researchers call a muck spreader probably has some large-scale attacks in view, although it's also worth remembering in this context the widespread concern last November that the original Mirai was a dress rehearsal for a massive state-directed internet takedown. The muck spreaders are thought in this latest version to be Chinese, or at least Chinese-speaking. The code was compiled on a Chinese system, host servers appear to be in Taiwan, and the controllers are abusing code-signing certificates stolen from Chinese companies. Infections have so far been limited, but researchers think the countries most likely to be hit with bigger waves of Mirai are, quote, emerging markets that have invested heavily in connected technology, end quote. Researchers report unpatched FTP protocol injection vulnerabilities in Java and Python. The Russian security company OnSec described the technique in 2014, but their warning attracted little attention. Researchers at Blindspot Security have recently gotten people's attention by demonstrating that FTP protocol injection can be used to bypass firewalls. They've tested it successfully, they say, against firewalls from Cisco and Palo Alto Networks, but they suspect it would work equally well against any number of other Linux-based firewalls. Blindspot told Bleeping Computer they disclosed the exploit to the Python team in January 2016 and to Oracle last November, but that no patches have yet been distributed. Another report in Bleeping Computer offers notes on Internet Explorer 11's susceptibility to an unstoppable JavaScript attack that enables ad fraud and tech support scams. It's also said to render systems vulnerable to various zero days. The more serious issue is that the browser can be made to execute JavaScript to do, well, basically whatever the attacker wanted. A trend we've been tracking is the growth of fileless attacks as a way for adversaries to gain access and escape detection. Mark Dufresne is Director of Threat Research and Adversary Prevention at Endgame, and we asked him for an overview of fileless attacks.
Traditional security tools are, you know, largely file-centric in their detection. So they look for files written to disk, files that are executing, what's backing a process and scanning that file. Adversaries know that, and so it's quite interesting and much easier for them to evade defenses if they're running only in memory. And that is largely because memory, I think of it as a very permissive environment for attackers these days, because it's very, very challenging to do memory forensics at scale. You know, a lot of people just pick a few critical systems, and maybe once a quarter we'll take a full memory image of those systems and do offline forensic analysis, which means, you know, combing through and searching through, you know, many gigs of RAM, which is a very kind of niche skill that it's just hard. There's really two aspects to this problem. One aspect of this is, how do they hide in memory? And that's done by typically by process injection, which means running your code in the memory space of another process. It's a technique that's been around for a really long time, tried and true thing that adversaries do. Using tools, these days there are tools like PowerShell and things of that nature, which are commonly used admin tools that are very powerful and allow you to just go actually take, skip that whole file-based step, and just do process injection into a running process using just PowerShell, which is an admin tool on everybody's box. And so what you're able to do at that point is skip that whole file-based detection step if you're able to successfully inject, and then you're running in memory in a way that's very difficult for traditional tools to detect. And so we're seeing a massive explosion in the number of actors doing exactly that, or maybe having like a hybrid approach where they might drop an initial file on disk, but then everything else happens only in memory.
And at that point, once they're in memory, is your best hope, you know, scanning for exfiltration?
Yeah, I mean, that's how, so some tools that are out there, they'll attempt to detect that process injection step by looking at a whole bunch of events created on endpoints and having rules for saying, hey, if these five things happen, a process injection might have happened. You might have a problem. Go look at that. That doesn't really address the full scope of ways that adversaries can do this, so it's not the best approach. I think still the stats are about half of breaches are discovered through external notification. Like the typical case is just think of an FBI agent showing up and knocking on your door and saying, hey, you have a problem here. Go look here. And then you're really in tough shape because you probably have a well-entrenched adversary running in memory all over the place. And how the heck do you find that? Because memory forensics, you know, looking across, you know, 8 gig memory images across, you know, maybe 50,000 endpoints, that doesn't really scale very well. That would take you like years and years and years with forensics experts you don't have. You might just say, well, this machine is exfilling and I'm just going to reimage the box. Well, that could work, but then you might lose a bunch of critical data or business disruption. So we have in our platform at Endgame is a very powerful tool we call fileless attack detection, you know, not requiring this traditional forensics approach to the problem, but it's really, it turns into a kind of a point and click detection problem.
That's Mark Dufresne from Endgame. New York State's new cybersecurity requirements for financial services companies will go into effect next Wednesday, March 1st. They're expected to be widely influential, the way California's stringent automobile emission standards shaped the car industry in the 1970s and 80s. Balabit's CTO and co-founder Balazs Scheidler points out that one big impact the regulation will have is that, quote, banks are now required to scrutinize their suppliers and to report on breaches that affect them, end quote. He expresses the hope that the regulations will motivate closer monitoring of third parties. Prevalence Jeff Hill agrees that the requirements will drive more attention to third-party risk, something he characterized as the soft underbelly of enterprise security. We'll be watching the Empire State over coming months to see what effects the regulations in fact have. They're likely to extend well beyond New York. As attendees look back at RSA, they seem prepared to award the Mindshare Prize to Internet of Things Security. We would say that artificial intelligence, workforce development, and endpoint security gave the IoT a run for its money. We'll continue to look back at RSA through the end of this week, trends, warnings, spycraft, cyberwar, and some of the splashier IoT hacks, a lot of which involve increasingly smart cars. And if you're in the market for a used car, maybe you should think about it in the same way you would if you were buying a jailbroken used phone. We close with a look at some industry news. Verizon has negotiated a discount for its purchase of Yahoo's core assets. While Yahoo has certainly been dinged and dented by a series of large data breaches, those dings and dents are what drove down the price, Verizon still sees value in its acquisition. It's particularly interested in Tumblr, Flickr, and Yahoo News and Fantasy Sports services. And with those properties, of course, comes a great deal of potentially lucrative behavioral data. Online ad revenue continues to be a lucrative venture.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its Zero Trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zerotrustAI. The IT world used to be simpler. You only had to secure and manage environments that you controlled. Then came new technologies and new ways to work. Now, employees, apps, and networks are everywhere. This means poor visibility, security gaps, and added risk. That's why Cloudflare created the first-ever connectivity cloud. Visit cloudflare.com to protect your business everywhere you do business.
Joining me once again is Joe Kerrigan. He's from the Johns Hopkins University Information Security Institute. Joe, you know, I know you and I talk a lot about personal privacy. The EFF, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, has some pretty good tools and some pretty good guides available if
right.
that's something that you're interested in.
That's right. If you go to ssd.eff.org, that is their guide for surveillance self-defense. That's what SSD stands for. And they've got some pretty good information there on what kind of tools to use, how to use these tools, how to vet these tools yourself. And that's really the most important thing. You don't know when you're downloading a tool whether or not it's a good tool unless you actually go through some kind of vetting process, right?
Right.
I mean, how do I know that the open source disk encryption that I'm using is still a good disk encryption tool? Right? Should I be using TrueCrypt anymore? Well, the authors of TrueCrypt say, no, you shouldn't be using TrueCrypt anymore. Mm. Right?
Well, and how do you know if some random tool that you come across isn't actually doing the opposite of what it says it's
exactly.
doing?
Exactly. Not everybody's a software engineer. Not everybody, even those that are software engineers, fewer of them can actually reverse engineer a product or do analysis on it to see what's going on behind the scenes and see what kind of information is being sent out and how and where.
One of the things I like about this surveillance self-defense kit is that, like yourself, I get asked by a lot of people, families and friends,
right.
What do I do to protect myself? And this
right.
is a good way, this is a good starting point for people who aren't in the business to kind of get a rundown of what to do and why and, you know, some tools that are really accessible.
And they talk about password managers in here, which is one of my favorite topics.
Mm-hmm.
Once you start using a password manager, there's really no excuse for repeating passwords across different sites. And that's really one of the ways that people get taken advantage of is they're using one password across all their sites. And if one of these sites gets breached and the password is encrypted, even if it's a very strong password, if the password is encrypted with a weak hashing algorithm, or God forbid, not encrypted at all.
Right.
Now you've just opened yourself up to, or these people coming into all of your accounts. But a password manager really makes it easy to use a different password on every single site.
I have these conversations with friends and family, and probably you hear the same thing that I do, where I say to them, do you reuse passwords? And they kind of sigh.
Right.
They say, yeah, I know I shouldn't, but so many people just do it because it's so hard not to.
If you get a password manager, it's not hard to do it anymore. I mean, you could ask me right now what my Facebook password is. I don't know what my Facebook password is.
Right.
I don't know what my Twitter password is. I don't know any of this information. I just don't waste my time thinking it. I do know the combination, and I'm using quotes since we're on a podcast. I'm doing the finger quote thing.
Yeah.
The combination of my safe that's just one big password. I know what that password is, but I don't waste time remembering 20 character random strings. I just let a computer do that. Computers are very good at that.
All right. Well, it's good advice for sure.
Yes.
Joe Kerrigan, thanks for joining us.
It's my pleasure, Dave.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. And now, a word from our sponsor, SixthSense. SixthSense provides award-winning cloud-based automated endpoint and vulnerability management solutions to streamline IT and security operations. With its advanced platform, businesses gain complete visibility and control over their infrastructure, reducing IT and security risks and optimizing operational efficiency. With SixthSense, you'll get real-time alerts, risk-based vulnerability prioritization and remediations, and an intuitive automation and orchestration engine so you can focus on your core business goals, confident in the knowledge that your enterprise is secure, compliant, and running smoothly. To learn why enterprises choose SixthSense, visit SixthSense.com.